Good evening. I want to ask one very simple question that has about five or six parts to one very simple question. And that is, at what age does a person have the mitzvah to have children? Mitzvah pruvu. So every other mitzvah that I know of, I think, starts from the age of bar mitzvah. Tefillin is bar mitzvah. All the other chiyuvim are bar mitzvah. We do it beforehand, but the chiyuv starts at bar mitzvah. And interestingly enough, when the Mishnah says, how old do you have to be for to get married, presumably that's the mitzvah of Puravu, of course. So why, by this mitzvah specifically, by Puravu, does the Torah specify Ben Shmonasre Lechopa? And it gets more complicated, because if you tell me that, well, a 13-year-old can't get married, he's too young, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that the mitzvah min hamuvchar is to get married when you're 13. So it is a mitzvah min hamuvchar, you're 13 years old, you get married. And we know the Gemara in Kiddushin says that one of the Amoraim says, if I only would have gotten married when I was 14 years old, I would have told the Satan, Gira Beinecha, arrows in your eyes, I would have, you know, preempted the Yetzirah's ability to affect my teenage years. So really it is shaykh for a bar mitzvah, as the Shulchan Aruch says, that's mitzvah min hamuvchar. But the Mishnah nevertheless says, and then there's another number. The Mishnah also continues and says that if a person is not married by the time they're 20, then tipach atzmosav. Yes, I got married after I was 20. I apologize. I assume many of you did as well. But the Mishnah is telling you, so you have a lachatchila at 13, like the Shulchan Aruch says. Mishnah says at 18. If you didn't do it by 18, then by 20. So we have, it's almost like a moving target here. Not only that, but first of all, the fact that nowadays most boys don't get married when they're 18 or 19 or 20. They get married later than that. So that's not good according to any of the Chazals. Why do we do that? I mean, that's clearly the minhag of Klal Yisrael outside of Bnei Brak, I guess. Furthermore, you open up the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person wants to learn Torah, then they could also make it a little bit later than what Chazals say. What happens if you want to learn Torah and you don't want to go to Shachris? Shachris takes a good 40 minutes. It should take a good 40 minutes. Some places it takes 30 minutes. Other places it takes 50 minutes. So you know how much I would accomplish if I didn't have to go to Shachris every day for a year or two or three? I could do a Daf Yomi during Shachris, and I could do Daf Yomi twice or three times. So if I love Daf Yomi, I love learning, so why don't I skip Shachris? You scream at me, how can you skip Shachris? So how come when it comes to the mitzvah of Purvu, all you have to do is say, I love learning, I don't want to get married when I'm 18 or 19 or 20. So they're both mitzvah begufo. Mitzvah Purvu is a mitzvah begufo. You can't push off a mitzvah shebegufo because you want to learn. So how come, why is there this double standard? What's unique about Purvu that it has its own standard that even though you could knock off, even though you want to learn, so okay, you want to learn, we'll let you delay or not fulfill the mitzvah purvu. Why can't we do that with other mitzvahs? Furthermore, we have the paradigm of dedication to Torah. The Gemara tells us, Ben Azai. Ben Azai said, Chashka Nafshi, but Torah, he never got married at all, and he said, the reason why I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to build a family, because he's so dedicated to Torah, he would learn Yom HaValayla, so he didn't do the mitzvah at all. So it's not just a person who says, I want to learn a lot, let me push it off a few years. He, Mamish, declared upon himself that he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu. Not because he doesn't care about the mitzvah, it's to the contrary, because of his dedication to Talmud Torah. If you open up the Rambam says that if somebody feels that they are on this level of dedication, like Ben Azai, and they are so dedicated to learning Torah, to the utmost, to the absolute utmost dedication, then they don't have to get married. So I don't understand. If you're really dedicated, so you don't have to go to shul, you don't have to do any other mitzvah, I don't have to keep Shabbos because I want to learn, and I do all my learning on the computer. You know, the notes that I give out, it's all on the computer. I can't, the Shabbos doesn't work with me. So I'm not going to keep Shabbos. Okay, I know that's a little sassy. But how can you have mitzvahs that you say, I'm just not going to do because I want to learn? We don't find any other mitzvah in the Torah that I know of that because of learning, we're going to just knock away, delay the mitzvah, not do it when you're bar mitzvah, and perhaps even in the case of Ben Azai, not do the mitzvah at all because of you love learning. How does it work? Why is Puravu different than all the other mitzvahs in Tayag? that it could be delayed. First of all, that has a flexible number, either 13 or 14, like the Gemara says, maybe 18, like the Mishnah says, or not after 20. But unless you're learning, then even after 20, it's like this moving target. How do we have this flexibility when it comes to Peruvus? So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow night, I'd like to share with you the answer to all of these questions that Rav Ashwai suggests. Why Peruvu is different and has all these different possibilities of how to fulfill it when it comes to Talmud Torah. Last night we raised a question, or five questions, which are really one question, and we asked, how come all the mitzvahs in the Torah you're chayiv when you're bar mitzvah, when you're 13 years old, except for presumably one? The mitzvah of Peruvu seemingly starts, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, ben shmona asal chuppah, only when a person is 18. We pointed out that really the Shulchan Aruch says lechatchila you should have Peruvu at 13, but Mishnah says 18, and then the Mishnah says, but if you get to 20, then you're really in trouble. And then the Rambam paskins, but if you want your learning, you could delay it even more. We have all these flexible, you know, why is it different than any other mitzvah in the Torah, where there's a set time, you know, Yud Gimel Shana? Why by Peruvu are there all these different permutations, and why is it that specifically by Peruvu do we say if you're learning Torah then you don't have to do it, all the other mitzvahs you do have to do? So what's different about Peruvu? So I want to share with you a thought from Rav Asher Weiss, which is I don't know if there could be another answer to this question, but Rav Asher Weiss says that there's a concept that we find in numerous areas of mitzvos, and let me present the concept and then we'll apply it to Peruvu. On Chol HaMoed, there's an Isser to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Now, is that an Isser D'Oraisa or is it an Isser D'Rabbanan? Well, if it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, we could understand why there's a Heter L'Tzorech Rabim, why there's a Heter for Davar HaAved. But if there's Isser Malacha D'Oraisa, like many Rishonim, like half of the Rishonim say, on Chol HaMoed, then if something's also daraisa, so how do you have room to say, oh, but if there's a financial loss, go ahead? Issa daraisa is you don't permit for financial loss, for davar ha'aved. There has to be pakuach nefesh to permit an issa daraisa. The answer is, as some of the Rishonim say, that masran ha'kasav l'chachamim. Even if something could be asa daraisa, the Torah just says, don't do malacha. What malacha? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it out. In a blank envelope, handed it to Chachamim, and Chachamim said to Chachamim, you guys figure out what should be the parameters of the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, and whatever you guys consider as the parameters, that's the Isser D'Oraisa of Malacha B'Chol HaMoed. So therefore, it could be Isser D'Oraisa on one hand, and at the same time, it could have the caveats, the dispensations for Davar HaAved, Tzorchei Rabim, all kinds of things that's the Rabbanim that would, you know, just say yes or no. But it's really Asur B'Malacha D'Oraisa. Where else do we find this idea? On Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of Tanuas Nafsha Secha. And the five Inuyim, Sicha, Chila, Rechitza, are those Midoraisa or Midorabbanan? So, it's a question. There are those who say that Rechitza is D'Oraisa just like eating is D'Oraisa. Let me ask you a question. If it's usher to wash your hands and your face on Yom Kippur, then how come, what's the question?
Kohanim.
How could?
The Kohanim wash their hands.
Kohanim, okay, I hear that. That might not be a tainug. That's the tzorach mitzvah. Who else is allowed to wash their face? A kala? And who else? A melech. How come a kala has to look pretty and a melech has to look distinguished? Why is it mutter for them if it's also d'oraisa to wash? Why do we give them a permission slip? Same answer. Because it could be also d'oraisa to do. There have to be, the Torah says there have to be inuyim. What are inuyim? Hashem handed this to the chachamim to decide and to determine what is considered an affliction. And they said these are the parameters. But for a kala, for a melech, you know, we'll give a dispensation. We'll let them do it. That's called Masr HaKasa L'Chachamim. Another scenario that Rav Asher Weiss draws. Darchei Amori. You can't do things or get, you know, funky haircuts like the Amorim, so you can't get one of these Hare Krishna, you know, whatever, these weird haircuts like the Amorim did. Yet, the Gemara tells us that Rebbe and his family who had business in Rome with the Roman government, and if you wanted to, when in Rome, do as Rome does, right? Right? So you had to, if he was going to meet with all the big Roman officials, he'd have to have this funky haircut. And he tiru the base Rebbe to get this kind of haircut. What do you mean? But if this haircut is usher because it's Darchei Amori, why, just because you have politics, all of a sudden makes things mutter? If it's usher daraisa? Again, even if we assume that it's usher daraisa to do certain things, Darchei Amori, what are the parameters of Darchei Amori? Masran hakasav l'chachamim. Hashem gave the parameters and guidelines to the chachamim for them to determine what is and what isn't, what does constitute the isser and what doesn't constitute the isser. When it comes to an esrog, esrog has to be hadar, has to be beautiful. There are different halachas of what's considered hadar. On the first day, what's considered hadar? The other days, it's beautiful, it's not beautiful. What does the Torah mean? Again, the chachamim have the ability to say, we want a higher level of hadar, beauty on the first day. We don't care as much about the beauty on the rest of the days. What you see is that there are numerous mitzvos and there are other halachas that have this gedder that chachamim were given the license to determine, given the license to outline what is considered aser, what isn't considered aser. Now we can come back home. We ask the question, how come pruervu is a mitzvah that should start like any other mitzvah when you're 13 years old? Yet chachamim say 18, but not after 20, unless you're learning. And if you really love your learning, like Benazah, you don't have to ever fulfill pruervu. Where do they get this from? Says of Ashurais, it's the same point. The mitzvah of pruervu, chachamim were given the license to determine its parameters. Chachamim were given the license to determine what is considered the age. Why? I don't know why this mitzvah, not other mitzvahs, but for whatever reason, Hashem gave chachamim the license to determine the parameters of pruervu, and not other mitzvahs, and masran hakasav lachachamim. And that's why, even though it should be like all other mitzvahs, this mitzvah uniquely has a different parameter, a different gedder than all the other mitzvahs, because masran hakasav lachachamim, like the other examples we just gave.